This is John Walton, and you're listening to the Power Play Point Podcast with the Blue Liner on point and Anna Knox. Here's Wilson, and on the right side, he scores!
Caps fans, and welcome to this very special edition of the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point, talking to you wherever you be in the DMV, live to tape from downtown Glen Burnie, Maryland. And yeah, it's we've just concluded the 2023 National Hockey League entry draft, and this one was much anticipated, given the draft class and the Caps finish in the draft. And so I thought I would devote an episode solely to it, to kind of better explain what it is that we're getting. Usually don't do this, but I have a learned expert, very special guest on this particular episode to help us along in letting you Caps fans know what it is that we got. Most of you out there probably see the draft and say, oh, it's a bunch of 18-year-olds that probably won't see for a while. Well, again, this draft class is very special. I think going to see one or two players make an impact at least within the next one or two seasons coming up. So to help us along is, a familiar voice, and she's kind of running things in the background this time around. Cheryl Ann Forster, C4, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good. Thanks for kind
good
of
to be back, and I've learned a lot this draft.
Yeah.
It's actually the first year I've ever watched the entire NHL draft.
Yeah, I didn't catch the second round, but I sat through the entire first round, and kind of some surprises there, but I definitely liked overall what the Caps did. Okay, so without further ado, let us introduce our very special guest. And you might be familiar with this gentleman on certain Caps fans boards in the various Facebook rooms. He's offered his opinion about the Caps, and more often than not, you might find that they've turned out to be very correct, very astute. And he's had his eye on this draft class for a very long time. I'm calling upon him to help us out today, and his name is Mr. Marcus Lemley Clarence. Marcus, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing good.
And go ahead.
It's actually Marcus Richard Clarence Lemley, but you can call me whatever you want to call me.
I'll just call you Marcus. Simpler for my mouth to get out.
Okay.
Okay, so, all right, well, you're actually with C4 right now out in Frederick, and this is your first appearance on our episode, have our listeners, fellow listeners, get to know you a little bit. So first question I would have for you is, how is it that you got your start, became a Washington Capitals fan?
Well, Ovi is the real reason why I became a Caps fan, but I didn't fall in love with them because I was still a Sabres fan at the time, around 2005, 2006, 2007 ish, around their playoff run where they lost back to back conference finals to the Canes and the Sens. But it was actually 2009 where I really fell in love with the Capitals when they came back down three to one from the New York Rangers, and Semyon Varlamov, who a rookie, came into game five and shut out the Rangers, completely changed that series, is when I truly fell in love with this team. So much that even me and Cheryl have our own podcast that we do on our side. So that's basically what how I became a Caps fan is Ovi, but really 2009 was the real back burner because of how that series went between the Rangers. I just fell in love with the team, and then the rest is history.
I recall that series. That was that was a tough one. The Rangers series in the early 2000s, 2010s were always entertaining. But that one, in particular was very memorable. I recall that turnaround, the 3-1, just like you described. And I thought the Caps were starting to turn the corner, and lo and behold, the very next year they won the President's Cup, or President's Trophy rather, and which is not in and of itself as a good thing and a bad thing, but we won't go into that. So you mentioned having a podcast. How often do you guys record?
Well, we started it last year during the playoffs. It was right before the playoffs.
Yeah, playoffs.
We've only been doing it the last year and a half.
Yeah.
We just finished season 2, but we were a little delayed because we were going to wait until we came down here to do it. Did we do it down here?
No, we never did.
No, we did it. We did it when you came to the house.
That's
before,
right.
So we were going to wait for her to come because I moved in with Cheryl because I'm doing my internship down here, which we can get to in a bit. But we waited until she came up to do the final episode, which we did. Next season, I want to do something even better. Like I want to do it, maybe take it to YouTube and do a video chat type of podcast, to really grow it even more than just, cause right now it's on Spotify, but I want to grow it even more.
Excellent. And, I for one, I love podcasting. So any fellow Caps fans that have one, we certainly try to help them out, try to do whatever it is we can to promote them. Got a few of my friends who do that, too numerous to mention right now, but, so what's the title of the podcast?
Sakrum's off the Capitals off the chains or something along those Sakrum's, lines.
Well, Sakrum is my burner account on Facebook. I actually, if you've seen a couple times, the two of the three games I went to the Caps games in DC, I wore a wig and a mustache, and that is Sakrum. Yeah, I actually went to the Sabres game wearing it too. They've won all three times I wore it. So call it a superstition all you want. so we named it after the back burner of my Facebook account. So basically it's the Sakrum's off the chain or Sakrum's Capitals off the chains podcast.
I'm gonna send you the link.
Okay. And definitely. And like I said, whatever we can do at this show to help promote that, we will certainly do. And the only requirement I would have is that every once in a blue moon or harvest moon or whatever you cycle you believe in, that you do us a solid by having me or someone else on representing this show. Hint, hint.
Absolutely.
I was going to actually ask you if you want to next season, you want to come on as a guest.
Oh, absolutely. I would love that. I would absolutely love that. And I prefer the independent podcast. There's a lot of good ones out there that are supportive. Japers, Rink, and Locked On. Those are run by some good people. But whatever I can do to help out the independent podcasts, those are not backed by any big budgets or anything like that. Definitely. So, just let me know. So you mentioned an internship. Tell us about that. From what I know of you, you're headed towards a very interesting and hopefully lucrative career path. Talk about that with us.
Yes, sports management is what I'm going for. Coaching is what I want to do. Basically, the reason why Cheryl likes to talk high about me knowing a lot of the draft stuff is because that is heavily what I'm going for towards sports management. I want to be a scout. I also want to be a general manager. I also want to, turn a struggling Division I program into a very, very successful program. But my ultimate goal would be to, you know, end up coaching for the Caps in some way or form. Right now, I graduate from my bachelor's in December. I just got to do a couple of coaching things in New York when I go back up there. But ultimately, right now, at McDaniel College is when I'm doing my internship. Once I finish my internship, I will be going into the fields of probably college areas. I'm hoping to coach hockey. I don't mind if I start at the Little League, like the Pee Wee, going all the way up. But it's just I have the passion to coach because I feel like I'll be one hell of a coach.
Awesome. Glad to hear it. So, yeah, that's very great. It's very inspiring. I don't know, and I was a teacher for several years. I don't know if that I could have the patience to be a coach myself. Although I like studying the tactics and the movements within a game, but I for one don't think I would last very long as a coach because I probably would lose my patience very, very easily in a position like that.
I already lost my patience before because I had a coach. I had to do my coaching practicum last semester, and I did it with baseball. I already lost my patience with the kids. It's just like
– And they love him. And they loved
him. They loved me because they're all chanting. At the end of my run as they're helping them coach, they're all chanting my name, like Lemley, they're calling me Lemster. And it's just like, there's nothing better than being able to connect. And these are high school kids too. There's nothing better to be able to connect with players and have them respect you the way they did, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Again, being a teacher, I know a former teacher anyway, I know all about that. And there is nothing like that connection. And that's absolutely awesome that you are working towards that. So hopefully one day down the road, we'll be hearing about your success in that regard, whether it's in the college ranks or perhaps in the semi-pro or even the pro ranks one day. So definitely have to keep an eye on all that. But for now, we're going to turn our attention to this year's draft. As I said, probably one of the deepest and the richest classes we've seen in quite a while. I keep my eye on probably the top tier level of talent or pool of talent, as it were, every season. I've wondered on every season if it was worth doing an episode devoted to the draft. And I realize my coverage would probably not be, all that substantive, all that, deep in information. So the substance I'm looking for is going to be provided by Marcus, because I think, we've got some good guys here that will help the Caps in good time here. I don't think it'll be, the typical 2 to 4+ years that we hear from some of these guys before they even, have a sniff at the roster. I think a lot of these guys and some of the guys that are in the talent pool now, will probably be able to step in. We'll talk about some of them, like, for example, and Ivan Marushnichenko for one, who's at the current developmental camp. All right. So let's go ahead and just, I'm sorry.
No, he left. He's not. The camp.
Oh, he left.
Yeah, he left. One of our buddies, Mike. Yeah, Mike. He said he only stayed for like a couple of days, and then he.
Oh.
Yeah, because he's heading to Hershey. He'll start the season at Hershey. He already knows that. But here's the thing about Ivan. Before we get into it, this kid right here, once he gets called up to the Caps, he's not going back down. That's how good he is. He's not going back down. He has one hell of a shot. I mean, even a shot that could even rival Ovi's shot. And it's just like once he gets that call to the Caps, he's not going back down.
You think it'll be this season?
No, I honestly don't think it's going to be this year. I think the Caps have too much relying on that top six being Ovi and who's the second line winger for us?
Milano's third line. I think it'll be so. Your top line is looking to be Strom, Ovi, and Wilson, I believe.
Yeah, that's if we don't. But we're not going to get into that. But that's if the Caps don't trade for DeBrincat. Right. If DeBrincat gets traded, then he's probably on that second line.
Well, that would be
we're going to have to devote some time to that, but that's that's going to be a big to-do if they can even pull that off. But it's possible, but it's not probable. Yeah. Yeah, general manager Brian McClellan wanted to make a splash regarding the top six, but let's just say his hands are more than a bit tied in that regard. So we'll discuss that towards the end. Let's go ahead and get right into the results of the draft. So we're going to start out with the first pick, which of course was the eighth overall pick. Let's preface this a little bit because I want to address a certain segment of the Caps fandom that probably wasn't very much in the majority. They were very much in the minority, but I think there's a certain segment out there that was expecting either some sort of a move or for us to get lucky and pick one Matvei Michkov with that pick, or maybe change the order of their draft pick to land him. And when that didn't happen, you could hear a bit of whining from that camp. But you and I have a certain opinion on Michkov, and we both agree that going after him probably wasn't the best thing in the best interest of the Caps.
Yes, there was reports that one of the Caps scouts came out saying that he had an attitude problem, and that last year's World Juniors, the Caps' own prospect Miro and Michkov got into it, and they don't like each other. So I don't think that would have been a perfect fit. But the thing is, I'm not taking away Michkov's talent. I think he has the talent. If he didn't have that 3-year contract, he'd probably go second overall in the draft. And then that's a big reason why a lot of these fans are upset that we didn't get him, because he is, in my opinion, the second best player in this draft. But that 3-year, the fact that he's Russian, is why he dropped to seventh.
Yeah, and I'm with you, Marcus. Those two reasons, the not perceived but actual attitude problem that was documented, and the fact that at a minimum we would have to wait out his 3-year contract with the KHL, which we've already done, believe it or not, with a certain Evgeny Kuznetsov. And today it's debatable whether or not that was worth the wait. Some would say yes, some would say no. It's another discussion another day.
He scored his first career goal against the LA Kings. So
yeah.
And that was the year we missed the playoffs. That was the last time we missed the playoffs.
Right. Yeah.
But in any case, I'm very, very happy with the selection that they did make. Even though, like you said, Michkov's talents is not to be denied, but I don't think overall it would have been worth the wait. And I think that this player, who was Ryan Leonard from the U.S. National Development Program, is going to be very much whatever years we do end up waiting. I don't think that'll be very long. So go ahead.
I'm going to say right now here, the fans, there's some fans who said that Michkov could probably get out of his contract because Miro got out of his contract. Well, the thing is, the reason why Miro was able to get out of his contract is because he came back from cancer, and there was a loophole in his contract that allowed him to back out of his KHL contract. That's the reason why Miro was able to come over earlier. But Ryan Leonard, in my opinion, because he's going to Boston College, which is perfect, and a lot of people look over this. A lot of people look over these players going to college instead of going to the juniors, because they all think the juniors, because majority of these top players are getting drafted first overall from juniors or out overseas, is that the college program is very successful. Look what Cal Makar, look at the Avs. Cal Makar, I know you're not a big Makar fan, but Cal Makar, what he did for UMass, he could have jumped after his freshman year to the NHL. He came back for his sophomore year, and then the following year jumped, and he scored in his first game in the playoffs. That's why I think Ryan Leonard will benefit from going to Boston College. contract, and I give him 2 years. I don't think we'll see him until maybe his sophomore year, most likely his sophomore year. He'll jump over, and I think he's going to instantly play with the Caps. I don't think he's going to go to Hershey.
Boston College historically has been a great developmental program, and in a lot of aspects, I favor the U.S. college path of development versus Canadian junior or the European path, because they're on par with Canadian junior, I think. And overall, I think you learn a better rounded game at the college level versus Canadian junior. I think they tend to over emphasize individual talent at the Canadian junior level, whereas in college you learn to play both ways. You learn to play more of a 200-foot game. Plus, they have been learning the center ice game, as I call it, for many, many years. Center red line, rather, has been eliminated for icing for forever. That's built into their game. So you have players built on that mentality, use that path, the stretch pass, as you will, to utilize and open up the offense. So they're used to that. They know how to open up the game. So I couldn't be more excited as you are. Now, quick rundown of Leonard's basics. Elite Prospects had him at 5'11". Several publications had him at 5'11", anywhere from 5'11 to 6'1". That's safe to say he'll probably be at least 6 feet easy in skates. And right now he's billed at about 180, 190 pounds. So obviously he's got some bulking up to do, but I don't think size will be too much of a concern. He is part of the U.S. National Developmental Program, as I said, and the U.S. Junior Hockey League, USHL, represented the United States in the World Junior Championships this year, had 17 points in 7 games there. So great performance. Yes, scored a key game winning goal in one of their matches. He's a right-handed shooter, plays the right wing. Interesting fact, he happens to have the same birthday as my daughter, go figure, and he's an Aquarius as well. No. And the thing that I like about him is that he plays what I call a playoff type of game. He plays with a lot of physicality, and the more intense, the more crucial the situation, that's where he tends to thrive. That's where you want him on the ice. And Marcus, as you mentioned, wow, he's already scored a key goal in an important tournament, the World Junior Championships. So he knows already how to thrive in crucial situations.
To add to that, one of the sports analysis during the draft said, when it comes to the regular season, he's not much to talk about. But when playoffs come, he moves up in the board in that draft, in the draft rankings, because he is a playoff performer. And the thing about this, the fact that he's going to college, he has time to bulk up. I don't see when he hits that NHL ice, he's not going to look like what he looks now. And like I said, that's the biggest benefit from going to college than juniors. Juniors, you're playing against kids. College, you're playing against kids, but you're also playing against some of the most underrated kids that know that this might be it. They're playing in college. They don't expect to make it to the NHL, but they're still going to give it their all. They're fighters. They're gritty. So, like, you learn a lot more in the game of college, which is a lot frustrating why college isn't considered one of the top three developmentals to go through. But here's the thing. The three of the 10 picks are going to Boston College next year. Will Smith, Gabriel Perreault, and Ryan Leonard. So, look at that. I mean, and the Caps have finally learned that. They drafted Ryan Chesley last year, who's going to be a phenomenal defenseman for us. He looked phenomenal for them in his rookie season. Brent Johnson, a lot of people aren't talking about him, but he is going to be fantastic at Ohio State. He's going to have more minutes now instead of playing that depth role, and we might see a better version of him. Because the time that I saw him in North Dakota, he looked really good. He's a two-way defenseman, and he is someone I think we could have on the bottom six.
Absolutely. And, you're right. The U.S. college program, I think, sometimes doesn't get its props. But, people tend to forget that a lot of great players went that path. The best example I can think of just off the top of my head, I'm sure there's others, is Paul Kariya, who came out of Maine University. Of course, he was Canadian by birth, but one of the great careers I can think of, cut short by injury, of course, but he went that path. He came out of Maine and, of course, did extremely well. So, yeah, I'm not sure why the U.S. college path does not get a lot of props in the long run, but it is at the very least, I'd like to say, on par with the Canadian junior development. In a lot of cases, superior to that. But yeah, I like Leonard, and I'll be honest, I don't care if he doesn't make too much of a dent, like you say, in the regular season scoring. I'm not looking for that. I am looking for someone who, when the playoffs come around, he will ramp up his game 110%, because, frankly, I think that has been lacking with this team. Make a whatever excuse you want, coaching, bad decisions, injuries. We just have not seen that one player that is able and willing to elevate his game to another level once, you know, the Stanley Cup becomes on the line. And I think Ryan Leonard will be that difference. Nobody's made this comparison, but one of the free agents on my wish list was Ryan O'Reilly, actually. And I see a tiny bit of that in his game. And I'm more than encouraged by that. So if we can get a measure of that when he finally does hit the lineup in probably 2 years, then this will be a very good investment as far as the draft capital. Did you have any other additional or final notes about Ryan Leonard, Marcus?
Yeah. Yes. This, like I said, I told you, I think a few weeks ago, I said, keep an eye on Ryan Leonard. Keep an eye on Ryan Leonard. This kid, a lot of Caps fans watch Mitch Koff, but I stated multiple times, Ryan Leonard. I even told Mike Livingston.
Yeah.
I told him, I said, keep an eye on Ryan Leonard. Don't be shocked if he gets past Philadelphia. The Caps go up, they run up to that board and they draft him. Because this kid, and he is, and you were a little hesitant at first when I told you about him, because you thought his main position is a center. He's actually a right winger, but he can play center, which even makes him even more valuable, because you can now have him on the wing, and if your center gets thrown out, you throw him on the center and he can play. Right. So and the face-off. But Ryan Leonard overall, I think this is an excellent pick. I think it's a very good first start towards retooling. I think we have the last four first-round picks, McMichael, LaPierre, Miro, and Leonard, are going to be the future. I mean, look what McMichael did, and look what McMichael and LaPierre did during the playoff run for the Bears. I mean, McMichael is definitely going to be on the team next year. LaPierre needs another year in Hershey, but I could definitely see him towards the end of the season next year in D.C. playing. I mean, he scored his first career goal on his first shot.
Yeah.
Against the Rangers?
I think so.
Against the Rangers. So a LaPierre, like the thing about our draft picks the last two seasons before Ryan Leonard is we're a lot high risk, low or high reward. Well, it was a high risk, low reward. Where LaPierre is coming off concussions and Miro is coming off cancer. This is probably the first pick in a while that I can be excited about, because I know for a fact that he's healthy, he's ready to go. And this kid, when he comes to the NHL, he's going to be phenomenal. We didn't know about McMichael, because McMichael, he didn't have the monster season until after we drafted. LaPierre had, you know, concerns concerning his neck and his concussion problems. He's proved that not to be a problem. And Miro, we're still on the fritz with Miro. We don't know, but he has a hell of a shot. But Leonard, overall, a lot of these Caps fans they don't upset that we didn't get Mitch Koff. Be excited, because Ryan Leonard, he's a player, man. This kid knows how to play hockey, and he is Tom Wilson 2.0 with little finesse with Oshie.
Yeah.
And that seems to be the consensus of those that are in the know, that he has probably those two out of all the Caps players on the roster. Now, he combines both of those two players' games, and that's obviously not a bad thing at all. And you're right. You're both right. It was indeed the Rangers where LaPierre scored his first ever goal. Now, one last thing about Leonard. The thing that concerned me a bit was his size. But then, like you said, he will have time to fill out. I was concerned about his size because of the style of play. But as long as he fills out while he's in college, that will make him less susceptible to injury. That was my one concern that I had about him. But other than that, I couldn't be happier about this pick. So very, very good decision by the scouting and management staff.
And that's the thing about college. College hockey is they tend to – when you go to college, you tend to get bigger, better than you – like the two top, in my opinion, the two top places to go when you want to develop overseas and college. Juniors, don't get me wrong, juniors always brings out the best players. But those players that go first overall already have the talent, and they don't need to grow. They're ready to go on the NHL ice right away.
All right, so moving on to the second round. Okay, so this one has been described by, again, those of us who keep a stringent eye upon things like this. This selection has been described as the steal of the draft by many.
Agree.
I would say probably the second to third steal of the draft. There's three players on this draft list that we stole. This one being number two. We'll get to the number one in a minute. This kid should have went first. So he should have went in the first round. He should have went late in the first round. The fact that he fell to us, it's just this kid. His size is a little. It's a little, but this kid has.
But he's only 18. He's got some growing to do.
One hell of a shot, though. This kid can score, and that's something we need. And he's a winger. That's our biggest gripe right now is wing. Center, we probably have, and that's a good thing to have. We have so much depth at center that we don't really need to get a center. And I don't think we drafted a center in the draft this year.
No.
Maybe Brett Hyland later in the round. He plays left wing center. This kid, Andrew Kostal, he does play in the OHL or maybe WHL. I don't know where
WHL. He was with the Kelowna Rockets in the WHL.
Yes. The same team that Cal Foote played for, the son of Adam Foote. Mm-hmm. I'm a big hockey fan in general, so I know a lot of this. This is probably a big reason why you have me on here because I'm very, very fluent with this stuff. This kid, just like I said, this kid has one hell of a shot. The biggest gripe about this kid, though, is he does have a little laziness in his game. The same thing with McMichael. McMichael has a laziness, but this year in the playoffs, McMichael, I think he outgrew that. He was very, very – like, we went to a couple games, and we watched McMichael, and McMichael did not look lazy at all. He was not puck-watching. He was not standing around. He was getting in it. So this kid – like I said, he's only 18. He has I don't see him. He'll be top six. I think he'll be top mm-hmm. six. He might be the left wing. Miro, I think Miro's going to replace Ovi.
Yeah.
And Cristobal will replace whoever's on the left wing on that side. And then I think we'll have probably a top six of Strom, Miro, maybe Strom will move to the third line. I think LaPierre will be our top line center. I think when the dust settles, LaPierre will be our number one center.
Yeah, McMichael on second line.
McMichael on the second line. So, like, this kid will be, like I said, this kid will be, he's the future, and I'm very excited. We definitely got a steal on this pick. He should have went for earlier in the draft. And another player that's coming up that we got in the fifth round should have went in the third round, kind of like how Brent Johnson we got in the third round. He should have went in the second round.
Right.
A lot of people, like I said, I'm a little frustrated. A lot of people aren't talking about this kid, Brent Johnson, because this kid has a defensive side that could really help our blue line. Mm-hmm. That's a kid you got to keep an eye out in a couple years. Don't be shocked if he ends up in Hershey at the end of the year. This Kristall, like I said, Kristall overall review, like his concern is, yes, he's a little small.
Yeah, but
he has a little laziness. It's not lazy, my bad. It's skating issue. Yeah. That's what it was. Skating. He has a skating issue. But that's easily – you can easily fix that. I mean, Bowen Byram of the Avs had a skating issue, and now he's one of their better skaters.
Right.
So
– and he'll grow. I mean
– he'll grow. He's only 18.
Yeah, I was going to say he's only 18. Bradley was 5'8 when he went to college, and he's now 6 foot and change. So
I mean, I didn't start skating until 13, so I can't really say anything about that. But learning to skate is not easy, but it's also not hard to improve if you do it every day.
Right.
So,
there are a lot of coaches out there, many of them female, by the way. One that's working, wish I could remember her name off the top of my head. One that was working at the developmental camp now. There was a video of her working with Ryan Leonard posted the other day on Twitter. I wish I had her name, but yeah, it's not like there's a shortage of quality skating coaches that can help you improve that technique. So I'm not worried about that. There are some players out there that have, made a career out of finding the net and not being great skaters. So I'm not too worried about that. I'm sure he will develop that in time. A built-in work ethic would be more what I'm concerned about. That doesn't seem to be the concern. But briefly go over Cristal's particulars. So he was actually ranked, I'm not sure if this is 15th overall or 15th out of North American skaters. But as you said, Marcus, this guy was earmarked to go in the first round and for whatever reason fell all the way to the Caps pick, which was the 40th overall. He's listed as being 5'10", about 175, so he is on the small side as of right now. Played for the Kelowna Rockets last year in the Western Hockey League, Canadian Junior. His stats there, 54 games played, 39 goals, 56 assists, 95 points, 50 penalty minutes. So a little bit of jam to his game, can move the puck, obviously, has a pretty good shot, is the story on him. And I'm not going to waste much time and scratching my head and figuring out why this guy fell so far. Maybe they were concerned about his size, but I think this guy will add even more depth to what's going to be hopefully a very deep top six or top nine even forward core for the Caps going in the future.
I think, like I told you, like our center depth is going to be very good. I mean, we're going to lose Nick Dowd, I think, next year. I think Nick Dowd's contract ends next year.
I think so, yeah. We did draft a center, by the way.
Who was it? Patrick Thomas?
Yeah,
Patrick.
We'll get to him.
Which we'll get to him next. He's the next pick. That one I'm probably not going to know really much about. Patrick Thomas is – I still think he's a good pick. But like I said, I think Nick Dowd, if I'm correct, Nick Dowd's contract does end next year. But we have a replacement in him in Riley Sutter. And I even told you,
yeah.
I told you that during the playoff run for the Bears, I said, Riley Sutter, he is going to be Nick Dowd's replacement. He's going to be the fourth line center. And like, we're set on center. So the winger is really, that's been our problem. Like even defensemen, we're set. I mean, we have Alexiev, we have Johansson, we have Arario, we have Chesley, we have Johnson.
We just re-signed Farivari.
So we're set on defensemen. And that's probably a big reason. I've seen some Caps fans whining that we didn't go defenseman in the draft when we really don't need a defenseman. I mean, well, we're set on D-men. Like I said, Arario, Johansson, we have Alexiev, we have – I think – I honestly don't see – I think Edmondson will be a good pickup in the free agency that we got, but I just don't – I don't think he's going to play top 6 minutes. I think Alexiev's going to beat him out. I think he's going to be that seventh defenseman that's there to just, be a mentor, be a veteran. And that's the reason why BM got him, because he doesn't expect him to play these minutes. Because BM did say that we want to get younger. And I mean, some of these players, like Pacioretty, Pacioretty will probably be the second. If he's healthy, he'll be the second line winger.
Yeah.
So, yes, Cristal, but to add on to Cristal's work ethic, it says right here, Cristal adds the extra flash to every play. He beats defenders with head fakes, handling skills, slick edges before cutting inside or finding a teammate burst into the slot. He starts the play, builds them, and then puts the finish touches on them. He's an innovative playmaker, which is something we need.
Yes.
Capable of turning the mundane into the brilliant, breaking down opponents with feints and deception before sending perfectly weighted passes to his teammates to do the rest. So if when I'm looking at that, that screams another Nicklas Backstrom, in my opinion. It just that screams Nicky all the way.
So basically a guy that plays what I call a two-way offensive game, in that he can not only find those who can put it away, he can on occasion, if he needs to, put it in the back of the net himself.
Yes.
And yeah, you can never have, well, you probably could have too many of that type of player, but you can never have that type of mindset, too much of that type of mindset, I think. So yes, I think, yeah, definitely a good pickup in the second round by the Caps. So another side note here, Nick Dowd, according to Cap Friendly, is signed through 2025.
Oh,
so,
is he? Okay.
Year after next.
Year
after next is when he goes UFA. So
He'll probably be gone. I honestly, if we do bad this year, he'll probably be gone this year. We'll probably end up trading him and getting a couple picks.
I would not be surprised if he gets the Lars Eller treatment at the deadline this year. If like you say, the season tanks. So far that's first and second pick, and so I'm going to move on to the third one, which was, as we've already mentioned, Patrick Thomas. He was selected. Did the Caps trade away their third round? No. Yes, they did. They traded away their third round pick. So he was actually the Caps' fourth round pick.
Yeah,
they with 104 overall. So it's Patrick Thomas
for next year.
No, we got a third round pick from the Avs for next year for Lars Eller. We actually got two of them. I think we got a second and a third round pick from them. We traded our third round pick last year.
We didn't have a fourth round pick.
We traded our third round pick last year. This year's third round pick last year when we got who did we pick up?
Right, but somebody traded that pick to us, and I'm trying to figure out
the Jets. The Jets. That's the Jets pick that we traded to the Seattle.
That was in the Dillon deal, if I recall correectly.
I think we got a second and a third from them.
But in any case, quick rundown about. Right. Okay. So quick rundown about Patrick Thomas. He played for the Hamilton Bulldogs in the Ontario Hockey League Canadian Junior last year. He is billed as a center by Elite Prospects. 6 foot, listed as 6 foot 172, a left-handed shooter. Let's see. You know what? Sorry to backtrack a bit, but something we should have mentioned about Kristall. Also, like Ryan Leonard, he represented his country at the most recent World Junior Hockey Championship. So I think that's also worth a mention. You always want to mention somebody who participated in best on best at any level. And so he deserves his props there. Unlike the first two picks, though, Patrick Thomas did not. His year in the OHL, 66 games played, 17 goals, 39 assists, 56 points, 19 penalty minutes, 6 points in six playoff games in the Memorial Cup Championship. That's the Canadian Junior Championship. I didn't find a whole lot other than that about this guy, and other than the fact that he's a center. This to me screams depth pick. I don't know that he's going to make it too far past maybe regular time with Hershey when he does, you know, crack the pro lineup. But other than that, I didn't see much on this guy. What are your notes on Patrick Thomas?
Well, first of all, apparently Hamilton's changed their name to Brantford Bulldogs. I told you earlier when this guy got drafted, I said I really don't have much on him. I mean, like you said, you said basically it all. But I mean, to add on to it, I mean, this kid, he's a depth player. If he cracks the lineup, it's going to be fourth line. But unless Riley Sutter really impresses, which he could. I mean, he had a really good season this year.
Yeah.
He finally got out of that injury bug, which really sucks because the other player that was really high on, Cody Clark, didn't, and we didn't qualify him, so he won't be coming back. But it depends. His development will depend on how well Riley Sutter does on the Caps. If Riley Sutter is a guy that wants to play fourth line minutes and just grind, then I only see him on the wing. Or I see him probably a third line on Hershey. But if Riley Sutter really impresses and he finds his way to be in a third line center, maybe on the wing, I could see Patrick Thomas break, you know, cracking the lineup on the fourth line.
Yeah.
So, but just it all depends. Like I said, we are so deep and clustered in that jam. Like I don't know how you call that.
A log jam.
A log jam.
Mm-hmm. On that center position. We definitely have a log jam at the center position for sure.
So, like I said, like there's only time will tell with this kid. I mean, he has potential to be a depth player. I'm not going to say he's going to be come out and score 30 goals a game, but who knows? I mean, a lot of people didn't think JT Compford was going to do much, and JT Compford is just turned around, and I think he scored almost 30 goals last year for the Avs. Now he signed a big contract with Detroit. So, and he was never even expected to be a top six guy, and he became a top six guy. So, who knows? It all depends how he develops. We'll see this year how he does. I mean, he did play in the playoffs during their run towards the Memorial Cup Finals, where they lost to the Sea Dogs. I think it's St. John's Sea Dogs, who won the Memorial Cup last year. This year was won by the Quebec Ramparts. So it'll be interesting. Like I said, this really, I'm not really too high in this pick. I'm also not too low on this pick. It's a depth pick. We'll see how he goes. This next pick I'm really excited about, though, and I'm really, really excited to talk about.
Okay, so moving on to that next pick, it is Cameron Allen, a defenseman. This was the Caps' fifth round pick, 136th overall. And so just to give his vitals, he was ranked 46th as far as skaters overall. In the midterm, he's ranked 29th, so he dropped a bit. Listed as 6 feet, 192, so already got some decent size to him. Played last year for the Guelph Storm in the Ontario Hockey League. His game stats there, 62 games played, 5-20-25, and 72 penalty minutes. He did represent Canada at the World Junior Championships, played 7 games for there, notched 4 assists, 4 penalty minutes there. So he also has experience in best-on-best situations. Like you said, probably not much call for defensemen since for the short and midterm anyway. I think we're filled out all the way down to the 8th and 9th position. If you count the guys, like you mentioned, Iorio and Johansson in Hershey. What are your notes on Cameron Allen?
All right. So this kid, like I said, this kid, in my opinion, a lot of other Cap fans think Cristola's our top, most, like, biggest steal in the draft. No. This kid, he should have went second to third round. This kid, the fact that he fell, this kid – has potential to be a top 4 defenseman. He's that good. Like, he's a mobile 2-way defenseman. He's consistently activating for the point at smart times, stick handling around defenders. Allen manages to time his closeout just right, lead with a stick, knock the puck away, and finish with a hit. Good anticipation of his teammates, executing one-time pass across seams, confident carrier on breakouts, delaying and evading forecheckers before taking the puck to the net himself. So he has a lot of potential right now here. He scored 4 points. In 7 games, he scored 4 points in the World Juniors. He was the captain. Here's another thing. He also won Rookie of the Year in the OHL his first season. So there's a lot of potential there. I mean, like, he's not a goal scorer, but he can put the puck in the back of net. In my opinion, what I think that really jumped out to me, and the reason why I said this is probably our best steal of the draft, is that he's a 2-way defenseman. And if you're going to be top 4, you need to have at least 1 2-way defenseman. And I don't think we have that. I mean, don't get me wrong. Sandin is good. Ferravari is good. Carlson's good. Jensen's more of a stay-at-home defenseman. Mm-hmm. He's not 2-way. He can put the puck in the net if he wants to, but he's not mainly a guy that puts the puck in the net. Sandin is more an offensive defenseman. Ferravari is more offensive. No, he's more of a stay-home defenseman.
He's more stay-home.
Carlson, we don't even want to talk about Carlson because all Carlson does is either score or he ends up being on the ice when we get scored on. So, that's not the hard on him. I mean, when he retires, I hope his jersey, you know, or he ends up retiring as a Capital because what he's done for this franchise. I mean, not only did he win a Calder Cup, two Calder Cups.
Yeah.
No, I think he won one. Yeah, he was with the one the year in 2010. He was a rookie.
Yeah.
No. He won it in 2009 because then he was on the Caps in 2010 because he was a rookie for the Caps. Right. And we lost to the Canadiens because they were talking about it. But like I said, this kid has potential. Like I said, you need a two-way defenseman on that top four if you're going to be successful and go far in the playoffs. Right now, I don't think we have that. But with this kid, like I said, there's two other guys in our prospect pool that he has to beat out, and one of them is going to be with the team next year, maybe in Hershey, but I can see him starting in Washington towards the end of the year and playing a couple minutes and then going to Hershey, and that is Ryan Chesley. And Ryan Chesley is hands down our best defenseman prospect. But no offense, I know you're big on Vincent Arario, but I think Ryan Chesley is better than Arario. I think Arario, he's an excellent player, and I'm excited for him, but he is mainly offense. Ryan Chesley is defense and offense. He's a two-way defenseman, and he was our steal last year in the draft. The fact that we got him in the second round, he should have went first round. So, but with Cameron Allen, I'm very excited about this kid because the reason why I'm really excited is because a lot of the scouts said he should have went earlier in the draft, and they said instantly, this kid is a steal. So Allen is a two-way defenseman, and that's exactly what we need. I mean, but you know how we are. We love our offensive defensemen. We love drafting only Dmitry Orlov, John Carlson,
well, hopefully Mike Carly Green. Changes that a little bit.
Mike Green. Now trading for Rasmus Sandin. So, and Vincent Arario. So we love our offensive defenseman, but this pick right here screams we want a two-way player that can score but also can defend.
So I as far as defensemen go, I have always prized, and it's probably too easy to say, but someone who plays a game that is similar to, say, a Nicklas Lidström. Again, very, very rare commodity, but maybe someone who won't light up the score sheet per se, maybe someone who won't even get too many as far as the hit column, but someone who's quietly effective in shutting down an offense and you can count on to at least move the puck when you are exiting your own zone. And there's been definitely a lacking in that. We saw that when John Carlson went down to injury. But I think that game has been all but missing from the Caps team for quite some time now. In the mid levels of the defense corps anyway. So that's encouraging to hear that Allen does seem to have that game that, he doesn't seem to be a guy that's prone to turnovers is what I'm hearing. And I really think that we need more of that going forward on the defense
corps. All right. Yeah. Sorry. I thought the mic was off because it wasn't speaking. Yeah. That Allen, like, that's the only reason why I'm very high on him. That's been our biggest problem on the blue line is that we cough the puck up at the wrong time. And it's even said in his description, he's smart. When he joins the rush, he makes sure he has enough time to get back. He doesn't put himself in a bad position. John Carlson in a bad position.
Look, Marcus, you are not going to get any argument from me. I have been saying that for some time. And I got shot down in flames because, lo and behold, when he went down in injury, the offense dried up. And, well, that point was proven, but regardless.
There were so many times. I mean, don't get me wrong. John Carlson, during our cup run, he was phenomenal, and he was very good defensively. I just think once he got that contract, he just decided. And here's the big thing. I was telling my buddy, Trent, we think since they won the cup, they just don't care. I mean, honestly, they just that fire they had before winning the cup is no longer there. I mean, it's proven. We haven't made it on the first round since we won the Stanley Cup. Mm-mm. And I don't know how much it has to do with coaching. I was not a big fan of Todd Reirden. The guy I wanted.
I don't think anybody was.
The guy I wanted is now the head coach of the Islanders. And look what he did his first year. The Islanders should have never made the playoffs. And he got them in the playoffs. And they snuck in. And they took it to the Canes. Yes, they lost it. Was it five?
Yeah.
No, I think it was six. They lost in six. They lost in six. But the things he did, I mean, I'm in agreement with people saying we never should have let Barrichots go. Because if I think Barrichots would have came back in 2019, I think we would have repeated. I think, and that's saying something, because we still had a Stanley Cup winning team. It's just Todd Reirden had no idea what the hell he was doing. So I'm very excited about Spencer, even though at first I wasn't. But now that I see his criteria, I'm very excited because he brings something we haven't had since Barrichots, a coach that knows what the hell he's doing. I was high on Peter Laviolette because of his experience and the fact that he took three franchises to the Stanley Cup final. But he has a mentality that he needs, that he's like John Tortorella and Mike Babcock. He has to play, and Daryl Sutter. He has to play the veterans over the younglings. And that's, in my opinion, he almost ruined McMichael.
Oh, like, agreed.
How do you let a player say, we're going to play you more minutes, and then sit his ass in the press box?
He did almost the same thing with Protas.
Like, you just, and honestly, that's a big reason. That's might be a big reason why Kuznetsov just decided to stop caring. Did he lose respect? Did he did not want to play for Laviolette?
I think that's a large part.
Gil said, well, he's willing to give Kuznetsov a chance. But here's the thing. We get to it towards the end of the podcast. Do we use Kuznetsov to get DeBrincat? Because if we trade Kuznetsov and Ottawa takes his contract, that basically pays DeBrincat's money that he wants. And I was telling Cheryl, I said, what we could do is we could sign him to a one-year deal. And then we get, because the cap's going up next year, right. The caps are going to have money next year because a couple of their players will be off the books.
Yeah.
Mantha being one of them.
Please God.
Thank God. they could sign him to a longer deal. So, but anyways, yes, this Cameron Allen, the kid, I'm really high in this kid. Like, he's probably my second best defenseman behind Ryan Chesley. And you'll know why, why I'm so high on Ryan Chesley. You'll find out probably in, I don't know if he'll be in the spring training this year. Not spring training, I'm thinking football. I got football on my mind because football is around the corner. we'll see him probably in September. We'll see him. I don't know if he'll go back to Minnesota right away, but we'll definitely see him in the development. He is there now. Ryan Chesley's there now. And I think he's their best defenseman prospect. But Cameron Allen is probably their second best. But I think he's a steal this year because he should have went in the second to third round.
All right. Sounds great. So, like I said, I'm not too worried about the defensive development because, like I said, right now I think we're solid all the way down to the 8-9 slot. And the thing about defensemen is – I understand that forwards overall take more of the roster spots, but your defensive depth, is just as important, if not more so, in more situations because they're the ones that play. Obviously, they play more minutes, and they're more vital to your game both ways. And on top of that, they're the ones that tend to get more injured because of that. They're more prone to injury. So you have to have that depth, which is why I'm not to open another can of worms. I wasn't too disappointed with the Edmondson trade or signing or whatever we did with him, especially since Montreal agreed to take up so much of his salary, so much as some of the other moves that they made on top of that. Time will tell. I don't know. I think you have to have that defensive depth. But I like what I'm hearing about Cameron Allen. And I think even though what we said earlier about the U.S. college versus Canadian junior, I think the best defenseman and the Caps see this because if you look at their history, it's always Western junior, that they go after. as far as defensemen in their whole history. But
I think
the Canadian junior does develop the best overall defenseman. If you look at their history, they've come out of Canadian juniors, specifically the Western leagues. So I think this is a great pick, a great harbinger of things to come. And I really hope we see more of Cameron Allen. I think he'll be ready within 2 to 3 years, I think, is his time track as of right now anyway. All right, so let's go ahead and move on. Let's go ahead and see if we can wrap up the draft picks. Caps have actually had two more, both in the seventh round. So let's see if we can wrap up the draft activity fairly quickly here with both of them. So their next pick was 200th overall, seventh round, a guy by the name of Brett Hyland, played for the Brandon Wheat Kings, also Western Hockey League. So his basics, left wing slash center is his position, according to eliteprospects.com. Out of Edmonton, Alberta. So he's 5'11", 187. He was with the Brandon Wheat Kings. So you're saying he's a late bloomer. His stats last year, 26, 21, 47 with 54 penalty minutes in 42 games. Yeah. Brett Hyland.
Yeah. Brett is, yeah, well, he plays for Brandon, so it's okay. he is a late bloomer. He's kind of has that Brett Leeson vibes.
Hold on. What do you mean by that exactly?
Well, Brett Leese, what I mean, like he's drafted late, like he's a later age when he's drafting, so he's like a later bloomer, so he gets drafted later. Brett Leeson he got drafted the same age as Brett Leeson. Brett Leeson was 20 when we drafted him. He was a little older than some of the players in the draft. But he does have, like, Brett Leeson has an offensive side that we never got to see because of his injuries, and he just never panned out. But
we never got to see any of that because of his behavior, I recall. That's the reason I asked you about that comparison was because.
Oh no, no, not the behavior. I never knew he had a behavior.
Yeah, problem. It was a controversy about a Twitter post or Instagram post that he did that was derogatory towards I think it was either women or African Americans or something like that, and Caps immediately terminated his contract.
No, I thought we traded him.
Well, I'm pretty sure they terminated his. I don't know if they traded him, but not long after that incident, he was gone.
Yeah, that's
the reason why.
Yeah, current team is the Ducks.
No, we traded him. I don't know if that's the same guy.
You're right. I think I may have him confused with somebody else. Now that I think about it.
Yeah, because let's say Brett Leeson's a guy we drafted. He had a third round in 2020.
56th overall.
No, you're right. You're right. I'm thinking of somebody else. I don't know what. Brett Leeson.
Very high on him.
Yeah, and then he was we were forced to put him on waivers along with Axel Janssen Fjällby, and they both got picked up.
Yes,
same week.
And the Ducks picked him up.
Right.
He in my opinion, he's one of those players that just fell into the category of ruined by Peter Laviolette.
Yeah.
Because he refused to play players like him. And Leeson looked good. He looked good during down the stretches of games early in that season last 2 years ago when we had those injuries and the kids were playing and we were playing very well. Yeah, he was one of those players that were playing very well. Him and Beck Malestein were one of the two players. Malenstein's going to be hell of a. He's going to be.
I can't wait to see him.
Malenstein, I think, will form part of the core of that, a renewed core of that fourth line starting this year.
Now that
Hathaway is gone.
Probably Joe Snivy.
Oh my God! Yes.
I'm telling you now that line. Fourth line is going to be Snively, Sutter, and Malenstein. I'm calling it right now.
Yes.
That's going to be the fourth line. No, I'm wrong. I think Snively has potential to be a top six forward. I just don't think with now with the players we drafted, I think they're better than him.
Yeah.
And I think he'll be a fourth line player, but he'll score and he'll be a fourth line goal scorer.
And he may fill in from time to time in the top three, but
he'll be on the power play. I guarantee he will be on the power play. He should. Snively has one hell of a shot.
He should be on the power play.
Okay, so that wraps up Brett Hyland. And the final pick, which was chosen six selections later, Antoine Keller, the lone goalie selection of the Caps, and kind of surprising that they took a goalie so late. But then again, look where Braden Holtby was drafted when he was drafted.
I mean, but there were so many goalies in this draft that I really wanted. And I got yelled at for it. I said, well, we really don't have a goalie for the future. I mean,
we don't.
We have Clay Stevenson,
but he's already 23. He's already 23.
We do not. And
the thing with Stevenson is not.
Well, Stevenson will probably be – should be in Hershey this year. I think Hunter Shepard's trajectory went way up. After Calder Cup, I think, between you and me, I think, Sutter had a hell of a playoffs, but between you and me, I think Hunter Shepard is the one that saved their bacon as far as,
absolutely.
And that series against Rochester, that game two and game five, or was it game two and game six? Game five too. Shepard, we were at the game. Shepard made some, and even in game seven alone
against Coachella.
If Shepard doesn't make that save on that breakaway shorthanded goal, Coachella wins 3-0.
Oh yeah,
because Hershey had no momentum. Coachella had complete control of that game, but then Hunter Shepard makes that save. McMichael, the very next power play, finds the back of the net. Hendricks Lapierre tips it, ties the game up, even Steven. And now Coachella's on their heels. And eventually, Hershey dominated that third period.
Yeah, they
did.
It wasn't even close.
And Zach, even the announcer for the Bears, even stated, he said, this feels like they're back in Hershey in game seven in that third period. It feels like they're back in Hershey. They're full control. They're dominating. And they took that in the overtime and they won it.
Yeah.
So Hunter Shepard will be, in my opinion, if Lindgren falters, or Kemper could falter too, but he's that contract's too big for him to be on the bench. So
that's another discussion for another day.
That's too. The biggest problem. That's
yeah,
the biggest
that's,
problem.
No, I'm not. That's well, right. So we love some of our listeners love a goalie controversy. So not to stoke yet another one, but yeah, I can see that if Charlie Lindgren especially does not turn out to be the bargain that everybody seems to think he is, I can easily see Hunter Shepard filling in that role. I think he deserves better than a third guy. I don't think there's room on the roster anyway for that, but he definitely deserves better than that. So if, like you said, one of those two, more likely Lindgren, falters, then yes, he's going to get a very long look at the number one, or perhaps even be dangled as trade bait if a deal comes along. Although that may or may not come to pass. Hopefully, it won't. But getting back to the draft pick, Antoine Keller. He is French by nationality, born in Dijon. Played for the Swiss League last year. 6'3", 176, catches left. And let's see, as I said, he was with – well, okay, so he represented France in the World Junior Championships last year. Plays in the Swiss League, the Swiss National League for Genève Servette. And not a whole lot of other information on him. They don't have too long a season. But looks to be pretty solid from what I hear. What are your notes on Antoine Keller?
I told you there was three steals.
You think he has a potential to crack a pro lineup from where he is?
Yeah, I think he has potential. I mean, a lot of I follow another Caps blog. Other people that talk about Caps podcasts on YouTube. These guys were talking about how after the draft, and on Twitter, they were even talking about Twitter. Some of these sports analysts asked some of the Caps scouts, and they came back with a smile when they drafted this kid. This kid has yet to post numbers below 900. He's played. How old is he? 18.
So not to break, but for if you're not sure what we're talking about, that save percentage. So 900 is considered. 900 is considered okay. 910 is considered good. 915 or higher, you're starting to get towards the elite.
Yeah, which is the reason why I was so big.
And for comparison, this year's I'm pretty sure he won the Vezina. Linus Ullmark had a 936 for this year.
Should have been Sorokin. I'm not to get in any arguments. Like, don't get me wrong, Ullmark had a great season, but Sorokin was the reason why the Islanders made the playoffs. Agreed. And if it wasn't for the Bruins having such a monster season, I think Sorokin would have won it. I mean, but here's what I'm going to tell you now. This, even though we drafted a goalie this year, don't be shocked if our first pick next year is a goaltender, because that's the next thing we got to worry about. We have to have that top goaltending prospect. I mean, we had Sammy, but I honestly, in my goddest all opinion, we called him up too soon. I mean, we should have let him be in. And that's not on Sammy's fault. That's not Samsonov's fault. In my opinion, that's on Brian McClellan's fault. He looked at Hopi and he panicked. He saw Hopi had 1 year left on his contract and he panicked. He hit the panic button and called Samsonov up. Yes, Sammy had a monster rookie season. He broke records. He's the only goaltender to win his first 9 road games. It's never been done. But it was still too soon. And a lot of people, he struggled when he went to Hershey. But down the stretch, and once he changed his number to 30, he dominated in that. And that's probably another reason why BM looked at him and said, well, let's call him up. Let's see what we got. I honestly think they should have just let Copley be the backup for Hopi. And then when Hopi left, you bring up Samsonov to be the starter as a rookie, and then you go from there. I think Samsonov would have benefited from an extra year in Hershey, or if they could have left him in Hershey again and then tried Vanacek. Mm-hmm. And I get a lot of people are high on Vanacek. I'm not, because what I've seen in the playoffs. Last year in the playoffs, game one, the Caps bailed him out in the third period. He gave up 2 bad goals in the first and second period.
Yeah.
The first year before that,
Vitek Vanacek. This is going to piss some people off, but Vitek Vanacek, I will say it right now, he is not a playoff goalie. Period. End statement.
He's like Michael Norvert. He's a lot like Michael Norvert. He's a fantastic regular season goaltender, but when the playoffs hit, and that's the difference between him and Samsonov. Samsonov showed that he can perform in the playoffs. It's just that there's times where he needs to make that save. He hasn't been able to make that save, except for this year in the playoffs for Toronto, which he looked very good in that series against Tampa Bay. He won 2 of those games because of him, especially game 6. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for Sammy shutting that, like, one of our Vegas friends, Vegas Golden Knights fan, I said Toronto's probably going to lose because it's freaking Toronto. They always lose. He said, nope, I'm telling you right now, Sammy's not going to let another goal, and he didn't, and Toronto ended up winning that game. It was Jordan. Yeah. So, and then that's why I've been so high on Samsonov, and I'm wrong. He's not an all franchise goaltender. I get that, but he still has potential to be elite compared to where Vanacek. He doesn't. Vanacek is a solid goaltender. I'm not trying to hate on him. It's just when playoffs come, he's not there. He's lost the net 3 years in a row. 3 years in a row, he lost the net to a guy that hasn't even played in the playoffs. I get very emotional when it comes to this.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, no argument here. If I can write a book on the guy and see, tell all the world his tendencies and figure that out, it cannot be that hard to figure out. Shoot high. That's all you have to do. Yeah. Look, if you doubt me, look at the replays of most of the goals, probably 75% of the goals, the really bad goals he gives up, and you'll see a commonality. Yeah, trust me.
Sammy wasn't perfect either. Sammy had problems here too. I mean, he couldn't hold on to his stick. I mean, and he had the attitude problem off the ice, but he fixed that in Toronto, and he was able to hold his stick in Toronto, and he looked really good for Toronto this year.
He had much better coaching in Toronto for some
reason. That's a big problem. He also had a much better defense
in front of him.
Well, I would argue that. But I think this is where Marcus and I were both going to head with this argument is, yeah, the coaching environment is in Toronto, as far as the goalies, much better than what exists now. Yeah. If
how
you
many
doubt
times
me,
did I say it?
Could you imagine? Could you imagine if Mitch Korn coached Samsonov?
Yeah. How many times did you and I have this discussion last year, Gil, about Sammy?
Many times.
If he had
the proper coaching
and the proper defense, boom, right? And Laviolette didn't help matters by not picking
number one goalie. They had two quality and this look. We just drafted a goalie that has some potential to learn. At least I don't know if he's going to. I don't know if Keller. I hope I'm pronouncing his name.
Who knows? Who knows? Keller could be the next Lundqvist. He could be the next. Ollie, the goalie, you know, we don't know. It doesn't matter. Goaltending, in my opinion, is probably the most unknown because you can Matt Murray was drafted in the sixth round. He won two Stanley Cups and he was a thorn in our fucking pain in our ass.
He
was the reason why they beat us in 2016. We just could
fucking
not beat
wall.
Him. We just could not beat him. And he went in the sixth round.
Yeah.
Hopi went in this. What did Hopi go? In the sixth round?
Hopi, I'm sure, was. He was definitely late. I want to say he was fourth round, but something's telling me he was actually seventh round. But he was definitely a late pick.
I got it.
So, I said, don't be surprised if our first pick next year is goaltending. Because if we draft a goaltender next year and with our first pick, that lines up to where Kemper's contract ends and that kid can be ready.
He was drafted 2008 in the fourth round, number 9.
Fourth round.
Okay. I mean, fourth round. Lundqvist, I think Lundqvist went undrafted. So Tim Thomas went undrafted. Tim Thomas won a Stanley Cup. Ryan Miller. Like these guys that are very good. Patrick Waugh.
Yeah.
Dominic Hasek. Dominic Hasek, what I think in the fifth round of Chicago.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Like these goaltenders are just, they're very, very hard to really to critique. And I mean, yes, these like Spencer Knight's going to be phenomenal. I don't even think he was drafted in the first round. I think he was in the third round. I think Sorokin was undrafted. I don't even think he was drafted.
What is Igor Shesterkin? There is.
Nope, he was drafted in the third round. Sorokin was drafted in the third round.
Hold on, I got Igor here.
Igor was drafted.
Shit. I just had it. Hold on.
The fourth round. So look at that. Two of probably the two best goalies in the division. And Sorokin and Shesterkin went third and fourth. So I might retract what I said. Don't be shocked if we draft a goalie next year early. I'll say this. Don't be shocked if we draft a goalie early. I honestly think that's our next move. I really do. I think we're set on forwards. That's why we drafted mainly forward this year. We drafted mainly defensemen. I would say probably the last 2 years. We drafted a lot of defensemen the last 2 years. So don't be shocked if we go goalie next year. I think there's a couple of good goalie prospects. Let me look it up right now. I think there's going to be a couple of good goalie prospects coming out next year. The last top goalie I think was Jesper Wallstedt. This year the draft wasn't really good, but I mean there's a lot of goalies in the draft that could be steals, which is why I'm high in the Keller pick. Kesper Ruud.
There wasn't any goalies draft until
Kesper Ruud.
Fourth round I think was the first goal.
No, I think it was third round. Kesper Ruud is the best goalie coming out of the draft.
Oh, yes, you're right. Jacob Fowler was drafted in the third round.
So,
Damian Clara was drafted in the second round. I stand corrected.
Was it Chicago?
No, the Ducks.
This kid right here, Kesper Ruud. So,
Bjarnston, Philly picked up a goalie.
Yeah, he has had good numbers in the juniors, but that's fine. He only played two games.
Trey Augustine.
Kesper
Ruud. I stand corrected.
What's up?
I forgot. The first
one, it was Chicago. It was Chicago. Yeah. Adam Gajan. He was the best goalie in the draft. Casper Ruud is one player, but here's a player to really look at for the Caps. He's American, and he's coming out of the New North Jersey Avalanche, 16 under, Jackson Silverberg. This kid will be in the draft in 2 years. He's got stellar numbers. And now he had a couple bad seasons with 887 save percentage. But last year he had a 925 save percentage in 42 games. So in the games that he played more than 11 games, he has a save percentage over 920. So this kid, look out for this kid. This could be someone that the Caps could end up drafting and could be their next franchise goalie. And a lot of people, I got crap for this. I got crap for saying this in one of the fan groups. I think it was the Washington Capitals fan group. I said, "Well, we need a goalie." It's like, "Well, we don't need a goalie. We have Clay Stevenson." I have to explain. This is why I'm going for this stuff. I'm in this stuff. He's like, "Well, you're not in there. You don't know what you're doing." I said, "Listen, sports management is my major. I understand this. Okay." When you're a goaltender, if you're past 23 and you're not in the NHL already, you're not going to be a caliber starter. Only in the blue moon, like Tim Thomas, will you ever see a starter past 30.
It's possible. Not to throw a wrench into that argument, but
it's possible.
I mean, one of the arguments against that played out right in front of our eyes about, I want to say, good God, this was the original Cup run. Olaf Kolzig was drafted 6 years before that. Spent all that time, 5 years before that. Spent all that time it was Portland, not Hershey, the AHL affiliate, and then rode the bench as a backup. Did terrible as a backup, and then Bill Ranford, the starter, got hurt first game, and then he took over. Kolzig, I think, was something like 26, 27 years old at the time. Now, that might be an anomaly, but at least now, the way the game is played, but it's not unheard of that it takes a goalie that long to find his stride.
It's not unheard of, but the fact that he doesn't have really that good numbers coming in, he had a really good season in South Carolina. Don't get me wrong. He had a great season in South Carolina.
We're talking about Stevenson, right?
Yes, Stevenson. Stevenson. He didn't have really good numbers before. Sorry, the dog. The dog needs.
The dog's staring at us.
Yeah. Mary Jane's staring at us.
So she won't do this one. Okay. But you don't see Stevenson. You don't see Stevenson as being NHL ready anytime soon.
No, I honestly think he'll play 2 more years in Hershey, and then he might be a backup. But here's the thing about him. He played in college, and usually goalies that play all 4 years in college tend to not be like star goalies, like the starting goalie, franchise goalies. So that's what I'm telling you right now. Jacob Silverberg, this kid, he has potential to be one of the best. He's American. I don't know if they have the stats for him yet, how big he is.
Hold on, what was his name?
Oh, he's 5'10", so he's kind of small. But his numbers...
But he's 16.
He's 16, so he'll grow. He'll grow. So he has potential to be... And he's from Los Angeles. You know, that's something you never see.
Yeah, right?
He's from Los Angeles. This kid, honestly, Jacobs... Or Jackson, not Jacob. I'm thinking Anaheim, California. Jackson Silverberg. Keep an eye out on him. Because we don't know where the Caps are going to be in a couple of years when he comes in the draft. We don't know if they're going to have another top 10 pick next year, or which I highly doubt they will. I think they won't. They, in my honest opinion, I think they'll miss the playoffs, but we're going to miss it by an inch. We're not going to be top 10 like we were last year. The team's too good. I mean, injuries really screwed us this year. I think we still have enough to make the playoffs. I think window is gone. I think it closed, done. But I think we have potential to be a first round, like someone to a punching bag for another team. You know,
we could play spoiler, kind of like Seattle did for a couple teams.
No, I don't think we're playing spoiler. I think we're just going to make the playoffs just to be a punching bag. I mean, whoever's in first place, just like, hey, look, it's the Capitals. Bang, 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 bang. We're done. Well, not even five or six. I mean, like, that's
you think it's gonna be that bad?
Yeah, I mean, I don't trust Darcy Kuemper.
That's true. When you look at the division, you're right.
We don't have a total division.
Yeah, I think we're getting a little too far ahead of ourselves here, because it's I think the off-season moves by everybody have just begun. I think there's a lot more to go. I'm talking about the whole league, not just the Caps. The whole league has more to do.
We still have Carlson trade to happen.
Right. So let's, before we get into that, let's go ahead and kind of wrap up the draft. And the sound of that horn means that we have run out of time. No, this is not Regis Philbin. This is the Blue Liner on Point. Jumping in here, we actually had a pretty good time, as you could probably see and hear, making this particular episode. We ran on actually a good 2 hours plus worth, so we got that much content. So I've decided to go ahead and do a kind of a part one and part two. So as it is this evening, July the 5th, hope to actually publish part one later on this evening. Oh, by the way, happy 247th birthday, America. Thanks very much for tuning in wherever you are. So, yeah, like I said, going to do part one this evening, post part two later on in the week. Stay tuned. We're going to have our free agent episode coverage next week with a very special guest as well. So for now, Jeff and Joe, take us out.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Power Play Point Podcast. Thanks for listening.